We ready? All right. So we're going to get the meeting called to order at whatever time it is, 7:05, I think. Unfortunately, with the whole handing out ballots for voting part, we're going to interrupt things in a few minutes and get those handed out. We had to double-check it against who voted absentee, so that made that a slow process, unfortunately. So first thing on the agenda, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jennifer Charvet. Been president of the Community Council for about 10 years or so, because I couldn't talk anybody else into it. Okay, so first thing on the agenda is review and approve the agenda. Anybody have anything against approving the agenda? That's true. Actually, the first motion that's on the agenda is this split the community council one. So we do have to deal with that first. The, I laid this out in the order I did for a reason, and we don't even have the ballots yet to do them with. So unfortunately, we kind of need to handle this as it goes.
Well, unfortunately, that's why people are here.
Well, I understand that. That's why we're all here. But everything on the agenda kind of is important too.
Okay, and here's, and I'd like to amend that agenda to actually follow parliamentary procedures that states that special orders happen before all business.
It's, but election's not a special order. That's.
It is. Special order is anything defined in our bylaws that have to go to the meeting. And that is, it has to take place today, therefore, it's precedent over all
Okay, the motion that's on the floor currently about splitting the community council has to come first because the motion was postponed to be the first order of business at the next meeting, and that's what this is.
Well, here's the thing. If we're following parliamentary procedures, then we're going to have
But you know, if we didn't argue about this and we just continued on with business, we'd be there before you knew it. I mean, this whole agenda doesn't have to take hours if we could just keep moving. I mean, okay, all in favor of approving the agenda, raise your little card. All opposed, okay, put your hands down. All opposed to approving the agenda, raise your card. Look somewhere approximately half and half, and I didn't count. So do we really need to do it again and count, or can we just continue on with the day?
Continue.
Okay, all in favor of approving the agenda so we can move on with this meeting, please raise your card. One, two, three. Sixty-one. Okay, all opposed, raise your cards. Looks like that won by, I think it was 65, so a couple votes. Okay, so since we've now slowed down the agenda, what would you like to amend it to be? But we've already established that we can't bump that in front of the motion that's on the table. That's something that we can't move. We could bump it to right after that, but that's almost the next thing after that. I mean, that would be bumping it in front of treasurer's report and revenue sharing grant.
But what's the deal? You just want to vote
Why? Okay, any discussion on this amendment to the agenda? Hold on. If you want to speak, you got to come down here. Sorry.
The motion on the table is to split the community council. If we vote and then we have that motion and it happens to pass, then the elections are going to be null and void anyway. So get the first motion over with to prove we still have a full community council and not a split one before you do the elections, and then just turn around and possibly invalidate them.
I have a statement to make here. According to the borough, even if we voted tonight to split the community council, we still have to go through with elections and have five officers to walk us through the whole long, lengthy process of splitting. So it's not like the elections would be null and void. Excuse me, we would still have to do that part. So I'm not sure that it really changes a lot. Somebody else want to come make a comment? The mic is down here.
I don't really care which way it goes on this. I have no problem with voting whether we split or not for a few reasons. Number one, I would recommend nobody vote to split if you don't know exactly what it's going to do to the community. We can always vote to split later on. If you split, it's a done deal. The other thing is it's arbitrary. Where are the lines? Who's in what's, if you split Soapstone and you slip from Buffalo Mine, where's Collier Road? It's not defined. It's arbitrary at best. I say we just vote it all down and get on with things because it's not going to work.
Okay, any more discussion on whether or not to amend the agenda? That's the question at hand, not whether or not you should vote for this or that. That's not the question at hand. So I will accept the mic's down here, sorry. The people on the radio can't hear if you don't use the mic. The people in the back of the room may not be able to either. Well, unfortunately, we are going to have people come down so that we know who's waiting in line for the mic. I have no other way of knowing who they are.
I think that the concern is that we get going on the talk about splitting and the elections don't happen, or people with children go home and it's not a fair representation. So I don't know if you can make time limits on the discussion for the splitting of the community, but maybe that's what we should move and vote on,
a
time limit.
Yeah, my intention is to have a time limit on every one of these big discussions, because we could technically make two meetings out of all the stuff on the agenda tonight. And if we continue to discuss the agenda, we're not even going to get to the elections. I mean, we really need to get on with the meeting or we won't have a meeting. So, are we ready to take a vote on whether or not to amend the agenda? No. Well, we can't amend it to something to bump the motion that's on the floor. That part we can't do. So, we can amend it to bump it in front of the other things on the agenda. Okay. Do we want to vote on that? Okay. All in favor of approving the agenda as amended? Which is to move the elections to immediately following the motion that's on the floor to split the community council. In favor of amending... The approving the agenda as amended. Okay, all opposed. Okay, so we're moving on with it as amended. So the next thing on the agenda, which I'm hoping we can move through fairly quickly, is approving the minutes. As a reminder, if you were at the meeting that we discuss, feel free to have comments or, you know, make recommendations for changes. But if you weren't at that meeting, you probably wouldn't know how to make those amendments. So we're limiting it to those people who actually were in attendance at that meeting. So August 4th, anyone want to make a motion to approve as they stand, or is there comments on that one? Okay, so that was Michelle Prevost making the minute, the motion. Who seconded? Rick Shields seconded for whoever's taking the minutes. Any discussion on that or all in favor? Anybody opposed? Okay, yay, we're moving on. We finally got the minutes approved from four meetings ago. Okay, August 11th minutes. Someone want to make a motion on that one? And that was Rebecca Clark. Woohoo! I'm remembering. What was your name again? Annette Hagen seconded. Any discussion on the August 11th minutes? All in favor of approving as they are? Anyone opposed? Okay, they passed. September 8th minutes. Somebody want to make a motion on those? Okay, hold on. What is your name again?
John Martin.
John Martin made a motion to approve. Rebecca Clark made a motion, or made a second. It's been a long day. All in favor, or actually any discussion on that one? All in favor of approving as they are? Anyone opposed? Okay, those pass. How about the October 17th? Someone? Okay, what was your name? Michael Chambers made a motion to accept. Do we have a second? What was your name again? Billy Walker made a second, or made a seconded. Sorry. Let's see how tongue-tied I can get tonight. All right, any discussion on those? All in favor of approving as they are? Anyone opposed? Okay, those are approved. Woohoo, we got through all of that. Okay. So the next thing on the agenda is the motion that's on the floor to split the community council. And the way I believe it was worded, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, it was a motion to split the community council, split Soapstone from Buffalo Mine. Is that the way I heard that? Okay. And then there was a friendly amendment made to that just to postpone it till the following meeting, and that's where we're at now. And any discussion on that? Want to line up with the microphone over here, and we are limiting that discussion. I would say no more than 20 minutes. Does that sound reasonable? I mean, that's like well enough to discuss. No, not per person. Total. 3 minutes per person. If you get long-winded, we'll cut you off. Hold on. Andre, yes? Okay. I think you have that right.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Andre Chostek, and I brought that motion because I've been involved in the community council community affairs for, let's say, 15 years, maybe 20. That's as long we live on Buffalo on Soapstone Road. And me and my wife, something wrong with that or no? That's better. Okay. I want to tell you a little bit about myself, introduce myself. I came from Poland in 1980, free to U.S. and become a U.S. citizen. It's going to be probably pretty soon, about 30 years. And I would be the last one who would make that motion, because in the interest of community, we can only stay together if we and then become a strong, united community. That we can really face our challenges. And that's something that I really thought through to make that motion. But you make a decision. I'm glad you all here, and I'm looking forward to meet everybody. And said, and I'm not running for the council. Thank you.
I'm Rebecca Clark. I just don't think it would be fair for Buffalo Mine or Soapstone to split, because Buffalo Mine might not have enough and they might need us. And to leave them in the open like that would just be not right. So I think it would not be right to just drop them. I mean, why would you want to drop someone you don't know but you could get to know?
My name is Eric Swan. I've lived on Buffalo Mine Road since 1984. And if they vote to split Buffalo Mine Road and Soapstone, Buffalo Mine Road and Soapstone is like trails from Soapstone to Buffalo. And if you're a moose hunter or you're a hunter of any kind, in their 89-page plan, there was some restrictions on ammo, slugs only, all that kind of stuff. So if you got any kind of interest in recreation, hunting, blah, 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 you don't want to separate the two, because you may not get to use it no more. I don't know what their agenda is on restricting trail use. I know that some of our old trails got gates in from them now. So anyways, that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Kathleen Chambers. I live on Soapstone. Lived there for about a year and a half, and what I've seen is it's a very together community. Everybody looks out for one another. Everybody takes care of one another. I can think of nobody on Soapstone Road that I couldn't go to and ask for help. I'd hate to see that split. I think that's the wrong decision to make, to split the council. Because if you split the council, you're going to split the neighborhoods, and that's just wrong all the way around.
Feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but I kind of agree with everybody else who said this, that do not split this council. We've been a community here. I've lived in the area for over 30 years. The backyard, as I call it, has been shared with everybody in this neighborhood, plus people out in Hatcher Pass and all others, trying to define these boundaries, borders, and everything else that somebody may want to think about splitting this is just a ludicrous idea. And all I can do is beat a dead horse after that.
And I'm gonna make a quick recommendation that if what you were gonna say has already been said, try to think of something different or skip it just for the sake of saving time. So if you have a comment that's different from what you've already heard, feel free to come line up.
Okay, my name is Steve Renner, and I've been on in the Soapstone area, Norman Avenue, since 1975. I think we're venturing off into some territory here that, first of all, I really don't think we understand the entire ramifications of what has been brought up to us. I don't think it's just as easy as saying we're going to split. I think we're opening ourselves up for a discussion that could be endless, and as I see it, it could probably lead to an even wider split in our community. I think right now my suggestion to you folks in this room here is to make sure that you consider those ramifications that we don't know about yet. This discussion should be tabled until we have some specifics in as far as where this may lead us. I don't want to just drop the ball on the people over in Buffalo Mine Road. I hope they don't feel any different about me. Thank you.
Anyone else, or shall we move to a vote?
This is actually a question, not a comment. At the September 8th meeting, a lot of people expressed that they didn't feel they needed a community council, that they were doing just fine on their own, that people were neighborly and looked out for each other without having a community council. And it just sounded like there was a lot of animosity at the idea in general. I'm wondering if that's still the sentiment, if people still feel like there is no need for a community council, and if that should be brought to the table. Not irrelevant. You can dissolve a community council. You don't have to keep it going.
I would like to answer that. I think based on the actions that have preceded this meeting, that we do need a community council to keep things like this from happening again, so our community is represented properly.
Anyone else before we close the discussion and move to a vote?
We getting there? All right, cool. Tim Leach, live over on Buffalo Mine Road. And question through the chair that I think is pertinent, or the chair could rule it either way. And it's in relation to the idea and the motion of splitting the community into two community councils that would represent each area. The question I put forward, if allowed, is how many folks on the Soapstone area, and then I'll ask on the Buffalo Mine side, to have their mineral rights versus just their surface rights? If that's an allowable question, just to see if there's... Sure, let's try it. How's that? Is that better? Okay. So the question, if it's allowed, would be, first to the Soapstone folks, how many folks here have the subsurface rights and their surface rights on their land? And then I'll ask it for the Buffalo Mines side. So surface rights only, I guess?
My guess is most people wouldn't know.
So do you own just the surface, or do you own what's underneath, like the mineral rights? I'm trying to find out if the reason I'm saying, and I'll explain here to the relevancy.
I would say
here,
just move to your explanation.
Yeah, if you have the subsurface rights in one area and not in another area, that changes how things would be ruled in regards to a community council, and whether there's a comp plan or not, if that addresses it or not, all sorts of different things. So there's a different type of governance that might be forthcoming if a community has surface rights plus subsurface rights versus just one. And I wanted to find out if there's a difference between Soapstone folks and Buffalo Mine Road folks on that, if that's a reasonable question to ask.
I think it's a reasonable question because it is related to the differences in the community.
Cool. So I'll try to find out the easiest way here. How many folks on Soapstone side have their subsurface rights or their mineral rights? So three-ish, okay.
A handful.
Out of those three, the folks who do not have their subsurface rights that are on Soapstone, can you raise your hands?
I think a lot of people don't know.
Okay. If you don't know, that's okay. And then switching over to the Buffalo Mine Road side, how many folks on Buffalo Mine Road have their subsurface rights, including all minerals? Okay.
All right, so it doesn't appear that they know.
Okay.
So we're going to move on.
All right, fair enough.
Anybody else?
I'm Jeffrey Charvet, and I wouldn't make a comment except when I hear comments like from this woman up front and saying, we've got to have a community council because we can't let things like this happen again. And I'm here to tell you that we've got a beautiful community council and people that have donated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. This woman right here, hundreds of hours for 10 years. Does she have any glory in the world? No. We've had a wonderful community council that's worked very hard. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, we're back on the topic of whether or not to split the community council. We're not arguing about everything else. We could go on for hours about everything else.
I never argued that the community council did not do a lot of hard work. I'm just saying that if you want to be equally represented now that you are aware of what's going on, let's make it right this time, everybody.
Okay, this is about the motion to split the community council, not elections. Do we have any other comments on the motion to split the community council? If not, we're closing the discussion and going to a vote. Okay, vote it is. All in favor of splitting the community council, which means splitting Buffalo Mine from Soapstone, raise your little card. Not enough to pass. Anybody, well, I could say how many opposed. All right, it failed. Let's move on. So the motion as amended skips over the treasurer's report and the revenue sharing money. Evidently, people don't want to know what's going on with the money yet. We'll talk about that after the fact. And we're going to elections. Now, mind you, we won't actually have the results of the elections when we're talking about these next two topics. So it really won't change a lot. It'll just give the elections committee more time to count. Did the elections committee have a comment on that? And we also are about to hand out ballots. So, go ahead, Michelle.
When we were checking the absentee ballots against the list of people who had attended previous community council meetings, we came across a few names that may have attended the meeting, but somehow spelling or something didn't get on the list. So, if you are here tonight, you've turned in an absentee ballot, that counts as your meeting. So, please speak up. I have a Robert Beck. A Julian Miller, a Catherine Farrington, Anna Hammann, H-A-M-A-N-N, Hammond, sorry, Kim Maffitt, well, it looks like an A, but it could be an O. Kim looks like an A, M-A-F-F-E-T, but I guess it could be an O. And an Indigo Beck. Okay. So we, unfortunately, based on needing to attend a meeting to vote, we won't be able to count these.
Okay. Tracy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought we also agreed that we wanted to read off those names to make sure that none of these people had come to any of the previous...
More?
I thought we had agreed that we were going to determine whether or not any of these people that were just named had attended any of the previous meetings. Anybody here could verify that or not? Okay, then we can't use her name. We just wanted verification to be fair.
Okay, so we need to hand out the ballots, and we're going to read the list of names of people who qualify to come receive their ballot.
Come on up, ballot people. Sure.
Gloria Brown and Jack Pete. Hey, guys. They're over that way. Maybe if you want to spread out, take half to one side and half to the other side. When someone raises their hand, you can go hand them one. Hey, Bonnie, you want to give some to... Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to repeat that. Gloria and Jack Pete are up this way. Who raised their hand, raise them again until you get your ballot. Okay, next on the list, Vicki Talbot. Already? Alrighty. Kathleen Chambers and Michael Chambers, right down here in the front, Andrea. Dustin and Jacqueline Renner, up that way. Gary Benedetti. Up that way, okay. James Smith, Karen Hopp, Margaret Conan, and Harry Conan. Jason Crum, Jan Vanda something, I can't remember the last name. Thank you, Vanderveer. Sorry, I'm used to looking at my list, my cheat sheet. Kath Hawley and Ray Hawley up there. Jim Soltis, Kirby Spangler, Ron Jones. Jennifer and TJ McCullough, up that way. Marnie and Don Warris, all the way at the back. Greg Sullivan, I'm not sure where you're sitting. Over there. And Betsy Klein over there. And keep your hands up until they find you. Jessica Cooper, Jim Beck, Jessica James, and Jim's all the way at the back door back there. Jessica James, Kelly, I can't pronounce your name, Apricio, sorry. Gilbert, same last name, right over here somewhere. Julia Plotnick, Stanley and Sylvia Roach. Michael and Amanda Force. Sorry, I'm butchering names, I know I am. Sally and Robert Fletcher, Jamison Peters. Brent Hudson, Jane Hudson, Andrea over here. Renata Foster, William Foster, Annette Hagen, Marilyn Watt, Annette Lewis, Tracy Tuttle, Jeffrey Chervet, Frank Harden, Richard Bohall, Nora LaBarge, Frank Gonzalez, Jonah Anacleto, Quentin Campbell, Jillian and Tim Leach. Tracy Driscoll, Judy Dunnigan, Michelle Prevost, and Rebecca Clark. You have given yourself? Okay, yeah, that's right. It was just Michelle I didn't. I need one. Andrea needs one. Let's see. Krista Masiolik, Brian LaCasse, Ruth Clark, I'm going to butcher this one. Yes, thank you. Zanya. Sorry. I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce that one. Marnie Weiland. Monica Mitchell. Kenneth Rizzo. Stan and Betty Roach. Larry Chapman. Lauren Russell. Tammy Shields, Haley and Harmony Shields, Clayton Renner, Jennifer Renner, Rob Wright, John and Karen Hill, Lisa Wright, Keith, you know who you are, I just can't pronounce your last name, Larry, Brinkin' something, but I didn't write it all down. Sorry. He's up there. I was having to scribble really quickly. Sorry, I can't read all my writing. Steve Lanfear, Esperanza Lanfear. Luke Renner. Stacy Busby. Yolanda Henshaw. Sonia Haley, Melvin Haley, Janet McCullough, Oral Scott, Tim McCullough, the dad. I don't know if you're senior or not, but Nora and Dennis Wheeler, Heidi Scott, Rick Goss, Linda, I can't pronounce your last name, it's hyphenated, Marnie's mom. Where are you at? Thank you. Rick Shields. Joanne Lindsay, or Joan, I'm not sure which, and Ken Lindsay. And Lance Scrohall, wherever you are. And Lordette Newberg. Bonnie Zirkle. Pat and Ray Alexander. Rick and Beverly Smith, Kathy McKenzie, Tim McKenzie, Ron Sakis, I believe. Don Sakis, sorry. Helisha Meyer, Frank Meyer, Ashlyn and Harvey Finch, Deborah and Steve Renner, John Martin, Derek and Katie Lattimore, Aaron Atkins, Jeanette Goss, Frank and Sonia Huffman, Melinda Bai, and Sandra Belk. I believe that's everybody. Okay, let me rephrase that. That's everybody except those who did absentee ballots. Okay, well, hold on. Andrea, come here. How come it's got a mark next to the name? So what does the marks mean?
Just that we had checked them off.
So if it doesn't have a line through it, it doesn't?
No.
So were there no absentee ballots on these lists?
Only one.
I don't see it.
I drew a name through one, Tina.
I'm just making sure I'm not missing a list.
Okay, is there any other list you have?
I don't know. We just wrote on two of them. We only wrote on two.
Okay. It's on
the sign-in sheet or this one? Did you mark it on this one? Okay, cool. Okay, so, sorry, the marks I was thinking was absentee were not. So let's try this some more. There's more names coming. All right. Which one? The elections committee? The current council or the elections committee? Five. Okay, Mike Swan, Eric and Annie Swan, Eleanor Packard, Gwen Crundlin, Shirley Chapman. You guys getting them all? No, there's people in the back that are getting them. Are we running out of ballots? Okay, good. Okay, I already called Shirley Chapman, right? Okay. Alice Shostick and Alice Culhane, Brandy Crum, Billy Walker, Angela Martin, April Lewis, Brian Endel, Brian Henshaw, Brenda Brinkley something. Sorry, I didn't write down the rest of it. Andre Chostick, Aquina Renner. I knew I'd butcher that one. Ben Johnston, Brad Oz. Okay, now I think that's all of them.
Robert,
Hold on. I already called the Fletchers.
Right. We're right under
them. Yeah, and I called you too.
No.
Well, sorry, I did. Robert and Mary, but it was in the midst of a whole bunch of them. So Robert and Mary, Anderson. Anybody else? What's your name? Doris and Gerald Snoozy. But she said, hold on, she's... So what's your question? No, if you got one, that's the only question if you got one. I'm sorry, I called a bunch of your names, but I think they got busy running around. Carol Clemens. I did. I know I did. But it doesn't matter, just get a ballot. Anybody else missing a ballot?
Bob Hamm.
Bob Hamm, thank you. Who else?
Patrick Farrington.
No, that Farrington name was an absentee. Oh, I don't know that name. Let me find you. Hold on. I don't have you on the list. As in, he didn't get written. Do you have one of these? Okay, somebody want to hand him a ballot? If the person has never attended a community council meeting, they don't count as a member yet. So if they have to have shown to a meeting, any meeting, all the way back to 1989. Just one. Now, they could come here tonight and vote. And if that person showed up... Well, sorry. I'm just going... Excuse me. See the ground rules right here? Okay, anybody else? I think we're good to go. So now, you can fill out your ballot. We can... Are you... Sorry. Okay, so now, hold on. Thank you, Tracy. You guys are confusing me. Okay, right now we got, where's Bonnie? Bonnie, you get to take over this section. Because I'm running for office, Bonnie is going to be running this part of the meeting, the elections part of the meeting. Here's this.
It looks like, yes, ma'am. I think anybody can be nominated. All right, I guess we're open for people being nominated. You just want to stand up and, okay. Jennifer, do you want them to say their name, or do you just want the name of the person nominated? He said Kathleen Chambers. Okay.
I'm willing. My name's Kathleen Chambers.
Kathleen is willing. Michael Chambers nominated. Out of all the people that are going to be nominated, there will be five people that will be voted on. Correct. Each person can vote for five people. We're just taking names for nominations right now. Okay. And what is your name? Dennis Wheeler? There we go.
My name's Dennis Wheeler, and I would like to nominate Steve Renner.
Steve Renner accepts.
My name's Yolanda Henshaw, and I'd like to nominate Byron Henshaw.
Could you speak up a little louder?
My name's Yolanda Henshaw, and I'd like to nominate Byron Henshaw.
Is Byron accepting?
My name's Haley Shields, and I would like to nominate Rick Shields.
Rick Shields is accepting.
John Martin, nominating Brian Endel.
Brian Endel accepts.
Brian Endel, I nominate Marnie Shields. Oops. Marnie Weiland, I'm sorry.
Marnie Weiland accepts.
I nominate Jennifer Shervey. Where is she?
I do.
Jennifer Shervey accepts.
Betsy Klein nominating April Lewis.
April, do you accept?
I second that.
April Lewis accepts.
Oh, I'm Brian Endel. I'm going to read this one off the paper. I nominate Jeanette Goss. Oh, sorry. I nominate Jeanette Goss.
Jeanette, do you accept? Jeanette accepts.
My name is Rick Shields, and I nominate Jason Crum.
Jason, do you accept? He did a yes nod.
Keith Winicky, nominate Krista Masiolik.
Krista, do you accept? Krista accepts. K-R. K-R-I-S-T-A.
Hi, my name is Andrea Grohall, and I nominate Julia Plotnick.
Julia, do you accept? Julia accepts.
L-O-T-N-I-K.
I'm Carol Clemens, and I nominate Alice Culhane. Oh, sorry. You can't tell if it. You can hear. Okay, I'm Carol Clemens, and I nominate Alice Culhane.
Alice accepts. Is that all the nominations? Then I guess we'll go in the order that they were nominated, and each person gets to come up and talk for 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Chambers. As I said earlier, I've lived on Soapstone Road for about a year and a half. The first thing I noticed about this community is how great everybody was. We got a well-respected, well-honored group of people up here. I would like to really push that. You guys understand that Steve Renner went house to house in every single house in our neighborhood. Every single one, even the ones out on the highway, to make sure that everybody was aware of the vote tonight. That's the kind of commitment we need on the council. That's the kind of commitment we need to work for our community. Marnie Weiland is great. I've talked to her at great length, both at work and at home. She stopped by the store several times to see me. Brian Endel's a great guy. Jason Crum is super nice. He's probably one of the nicest guys I've known. You guys have a great group of people to work with right here. Rick Shields, again, I don't know a lot about Rick. I've met him a couple of times. Again, he's extremely interested in this community, as am I. At this time, because of some things that came up yesterday, actually today, really too late to do anything about it, I would like to ask that you, any vote that I may have garnered in this community, be transferred to either any one of the people I've just mentioned. Steve Renner, Jason Crum, Marnie Weiland, Brian Endel, Rick Shields. These guys will work so hard for your community. I'm not going to be out of the picture. I've already been told that there's plenty of work to do, so I will be behind the scenes helping this community grow. And making sure that I just found out today that I can't. Thank you very much.
Just for a point of business here, if I got 4 extra ink pens for anyone who doesn't have something to write with.
And I have a bunch too.
All right, can everybody hear me okay back there in the back? Everybody okay with the mic? First of all, I want to say this is a fabulous meeting, folks. This is what it's all about, and I don't care what side we stand on in this issue. This is how the system works. So first of all, I want to thank every one of you tonight that took the time to get out of your whatever it is, your garage, your easy chair, whatever it is, to come up here tonight and vote. And basically participate in a system that, if we continue to do this, will perpetuate the system that we are all so blessed to have, a constitutional republic. Okay, Another thing that we have here tonight, very few people on this planet, I think less than 10%, have the right to assemble. Okay, once again, we're exercising another freedom here tonight, and we have the right to assemble, and it is a freedom that was passed down with a baton from another generation before us. Now, I will make one comment about that right to assemble. In the future, if I'm on that board, and I just want to say we will begin the meeting with a pledge to the flag. Okay? And then I want to go right on along. I want to say thank you to these ladies that have worked so hard tonight to put this meeting together. Thank you for those people that have been on this board for the last 10 years. They tried. Okay, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. That's all I'm saying is we're going to try to link this community together. I really feel that there are some issues out there that are going to affect some people in a big way. All right? It's land use issues. And, you know, if we can come together as a community, we may be able to address those issues with a consensus and maybe get a little bit more skin in the game. And I'm talking about the coal mine issue up here. You know what? Some of you people will be affected by it. And, you know, I can respect that. But you know what? We're going to have to come together as a community if we're going to get anywhere with that. Now, a couple of issues. I would like to see the bylaws stiffened up a little bit. Okay, I think that, number one, we need to define this absentee voting thing so that we can nominate people ahead of time, so that people have the opportunity to use discretion to figure out who they're voting for, something I'd like to work on. And you know what? That's going to take us in this community to do it. It's not about me. I'm just one vote. Okay? Got a few notes. I'm a little bit nervous here because I'm honored to be up here, you folks. Okay, now, we do have one thing we have to respect, and that is the fact that the plan, it's quashed. It's down. Okay, it's history. Now we have to move forward. Okay, we have to put that in the back, and it is where it's at. And so, like I said, some of the things that we need to work on, the bylaws, the second one is going to be the vote. Everybody, how much time? Okay. Well, hey, listen, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it together. God bless America.
Hi, my name's Byron Henshaw. I handed out some flyers. I didn't have a whole pile of them, so some of you got them if you want to follow along. I'm just going to read what I wrote here, and we'll take it from there.
What's that?
Mike? Okay. All right. I would like to like a position on this community council because I don't want a community council with authority over my land. I believe that what we need now is information and options. I put together a simple three-step plan to accomplish this. Review, inform, and propose. A review of the history of the council, the authority it has or could have over the home and landowners, what kind of influence it has with the state and borough, and what potential it has to hurt or help the community. Inform. All home and landowners should receive a complete review of the information gathered in order to make an informed decision on the future of the council. Propose. Proposals regarding all aspects of the council, its authority, direction should be presented to the homeowners to vote on. It's a real simple plan. This council is all new to me. I lived on Collier Road. I did not receive notice. I know it's here now. I'm willing to take part. I just want to evaluate it and see what it's worth and what it's not worth. The one-year goal, I'd like to put our concerns and fears to rest. At the end of the year, I would like us to have accomplished one of the following. Restrict the authority of the council, reducing its ability to restrict us. Or improve established bylaws with well-defined guidelines to keep the future rogue keep from having a future rogue council going in a direction we don't want to go, or put out of commission, disband the council. That's my feeling towards it. And if anyone has any questions, I've got a few minutes.
The questions will come next.
No. Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Hi, I'm Rick Shields. I was raised in Fairbanks and spent some time there until I was 17 and my folks divorced. And then Sorry, I guess you got to eat this thing. I was raised in Fairbanks. When I was 17, my folks got a divorce, and so I moved down to Lower 48. And while there, I lived in Maine and Texas and Washington and Oregon and Nevada. And all that time, about 20 years, I noticed from Maine to the West Coast and Washington an infringement, a regulation mentality that was going on everywhere. And I used to think this never would happen in Alaska. And then when the time came and we were able to come back, which I think most people do who live here for a little while, always end up coming back, we found it here. And I was just as shocked as most of you about all this. And it's just sad that it's happened, but I think we can work together to figure this out, to try to define where our freedom ends and starts, where our property lines end and start. Private property, the ownership of private property is a basic right that goes right along with the right to life and the right to liberty. It's something that's so unique in this country that we cannot do anything to risk losing that. And that's why I've jumped into this race, to make sure that we can all work together to try to figure this out. We don't need to be over-regulated. We don't need to take advantage of other people as well. So that's why I'm here, and I hope that we can all work together to solve these issues.
Hi, my name is Brian Endel. It's an honor to be here today. I want to serve you on the Community Council Board, and that's why I'm here. Just like you, I'm concerned about my property and about the rights that we have here. And I learned about some things on August 4th when I came to one of the Community Council meetings. They were voting on a plan that not many people had heard of. And the petition that went out and everybody signed, that kind of verified that. There was about 130 people that hadn't heard about the fact that we were voting on a comprehensive plan. And I want to change that. One of the things that I'm running for is to get the community informed. To limit the board's ability to make decisions for the community, and basically increase your ability to do that, to inform you. When I began working on this on August 4th, and I got a few neighbors together, they got a few neighbors together. I started meeting some people in the community that I had never seen before. But we worked together. I met Rick Shields and Marnie Weiland in the first meeting, and shortly after that, I met Steve Renner. And we were all running up and down the streets, putting flyers on door handles, and getting you involved. Shortly after that, I met Jeanette Goss, who came up with the facts to quash the plan. And all these people, and there's tons that I'm not mentioning right now, but all these people got together, and we were working together behind the scenes to help you out. Jason Crum, I met just a short time after that, and he's been involved too. I support all these people. We're in this together. No matter how this turns out, I'm not going to quit. I put my hat in the ring on August 4th, and I want to serve you. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Marnie Weiland, and I've lived on Buffalo Mine Road off and on for 26 years. I'm running for a position on the board, and I'm asking for your vote, and I hope to make some positive changes in communication, the bylaws, how the meetings are ran. I see many changes that need to be made. It would be a more effective outcome from our meetings and have more community involvement, and it all starts with communication. By electing me to the board, I will be your voice, your advocate, and the person to bring our community together again. I want to know what you, the community, want, and how, as a board member, I can help you. I would like to put the unity back in community.
Hello, I'm Jennifer. Of course, everybody probably already knows that. I wanted to tell you a quick story. I was born and raised on Buffalo Mine Road on the same property I live on now. And I was raised Catholic. And when I was about 11 or 12 or so, I wrote a letter to Mother Teresa and said that I wanted to become one of her nuns. And she wrote me back, which I thought was the coolest thing in the whole wide world, that Mother Teresa had the time to write me back, which I think it was typed, so it was probably one of her staff members that wrote it, but she signed it. And what she told me was to do good things for my community. And I never forgot that. And one of the ways that I do that is by helping have a community council. If I hadn't continued to keep the meetings going and to continue to be on an officer, the president, for this many years, we wouldn't have a community council right now, because without having a minimum of 2 meetings a year and 5 officers, we wouldn't have a community council. So that's one of the things I've done with that. There's been a number of things that I've continued to try to keep going, like the spring cleanup so we all live in a cleaner, healthier environment. Petition to get the fire protection up Buffalo Mine Road, that, you know, without that, the fire trucks will not come to your home and put out a fire. They will come to your home to put out the woods around it, but not your home, which we've seen too many houses go up in flames because of that. And we all have the basic right to have fire protection. So anyway, that's who I am. I believe firmly that as an officer, it doesn't really matter as much what my opinion is. My opinion on anything is the same as anybody else's. I have as much vote as anyone else, as does all the officers. The officers don't have any more say in anything than anyone else. But a role of an officer is to make sure the wishes of the community are brought forward. And whether or not the officers agree with the wishes of the community, the community members can vote for something that I might think is not a good idea for our community, but that's the role of an officer, is to kind of go along with that, if that's what the community voted for. Thank you.
Hi, my name is April, and I've lived on Buffalo Mine Road for about 32 years, and I've been an officer on the council for about the entire time it's been in existence. I haven't seen never this many people, unfortunately. As far as the door-to-door thing goes, it never reached Buffalo Mine Road. I was very little involved in the comprehensive plan. I knew the reason for it, and the reason for it was to give our community a better voice with the borough. And the whole idea was to protect everybody, not like everyone's saying that it's to try and make more laws against you. It can't make laws. It just to give us a voice. You could take this entire room of people and show up in an assembly meeting and have no voice. It doesn't matter. We've been through that on a lot of issues. And if they don't want to listen to you, they don't. But a comprehensive plan can give you a voice, and that's the reason that I supported that in the past. Now, obviously, if the majority of population of our council doesn't want a comp plan, then we don't do it. I think a lot of people are misinformed, and I don't think they've looked to check and see for themselves what the truth is. Other than that, that's it. I hunt, I fish, I four-wheel. I want to do everything everybody else does. I have a 70-foot tower on my property. I want to be able to shoot in my backyard like me and my kids do all the time. I don't want restrictions. I want freedom.
I'm going to stand over here so I can see you. My name is Jeanette Goss. I've lived on Norman Avenue since the 80s. I've been married 37 years to the same man. As a mother and grandmother, I'm deeply devoted to my family, and I'm an award-winning seamstress. After discovering the huge violation dealing with a comprehensive plan, I began to do further research. I discovered violations on the community, borough, and state level. It was then that I decided to run for the board so this would not happen again. Our community council bylaws state, "The purpose of our community council shall be to improve communications between the Mat-Su borough and the citizens of the community represented, to improve communications between citizens within the community area, and to encourage community involvement of all citizens in matters which affect them. Our council board has failed us." As the bylaws state, the purpose of the council is to improve communication between all parties and encourage community involvement of all citizens. How can you do that if you don't take the effort to reach out to the very people you claim to represent? The council board accepted responsibility when they took office to fulfill the obligations set out in these bylaws. It should not be our job to continually inquire as to what the board is working on or if something important is coming up. Posting a generic flyer on the bulletin board is not enough. Currently, if you wish to send out information to someone on the email list, you must send it through Jennifer. Jennifer censors our voices by refusing to send out information she does not agree with, neglects to respond to... Point of order.
You will not... Remember, one of the rules is to be polite.
And one of the rules is polite. I have proof if anybody needs to see it. These are actions that why they should vote for me versus Jennifer.
But don't make accusations about
somebody
else.
I'm not making accusations. I have backup if you need to see it. May I finish, please? Thank you. Jennifer censors our voices by refusing to send out information she does not agree with, neglects to respond to questions, or adds her own comments to messages before forwarding. This is not honest and open communication with the residents of this community. Many of you may recognize me. My husband and I have sat down on the end of the road several times handing out information about activities in our community. We diligently posted information on the boards. At the meeting I called on September 17th, Jennifer again censored my voice. She stated that there would not be absentee voting or a nominating committee, ruling that since they had never had either in the past, precedent...
3 minutes is up.
Where's my respect, ma'am? Where's my respect, ma'am?
Do we need to adjourn this meeting? Everybody stay in control. Speak when you have the microphone. She get another about 15 seconds to make up for the... I concur.
I have reached out to the residents of our community far more in the past few months than the current board has in the past year. If elected, I will continue this effort to make sure you are kept informed. As a member of the board, I will work hard to restore the trust to our community. My vision is for a more cohesive community, working together on strengthening the neighborly atmosphere I think we all would benefit from while still not being an intrusion on anyone's property. Thank you.
Hello?
Okay. We're going? Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Jason Crum, and first off, I would like to thank the previous board, or the current board, and everybody else that has worked so far. I understand that it was tough in trying to get people involved, but I guess that's why we're here today. Ultimately speaking, I think... I had a completely different speech in mind, and now I'm off topic here. You know, growing up in a military family, I never lived in one area for more than 4 years. And in fact, in one four-year period, I moved to three different houses. This 8 years that I've lived in Soapstone has been the longest period I've been in any one particular area. And going door to door over the last couple weeks and meeting many of you and seeing the multiple families that live, it just blocks or, I mean, just a couple streets down, to me that's amazing. And to be honest, I think that by getting to know every one of you over the next couple years or however long it takes, that is what the community council is for. That is what the community is for. It's not just for us to try to figure out what it is, you know, or try to put together a plan, try to speak to the borough. It is about the community in and of itself. In terms of, I guess if I would say that if I had an agenda or a platform, to be quite honest, I want to see the bylaws changed so that the board is neutered. Not personally, but in terms of it as an entity. I want to see the bylaws changed so that way if there's any form of large expenditure or large project, it needs to meet a majority vote of the entire community, not just those that attend the meetings. We need to make sure that everyone is involved in all steps of the process outside of things. You know, if I want to purchase a stamp, I don't think that we need a majority vote on that one. But spending thousands of dollars on any particular initiative, everyone needs a voice in that. Thank you.
Got it. I'm Krista Masiolik, and I'm extremely nervous. I'm not sure what I've gotten myself into. I was asked to be on the board a couple years ago. I've only been going to the meetings for about 5 years. I've only lived up there about 6 years. I am the new kid on the block, but it hasn't been difficult for me to get involved and be aware of what's going on. But I didn't commit in the past because I didn't have the time or I couldn't commit the time and the energy to do so. But I'm willing to now. I don't like what I've seen as far as the disrespect to the current board. They have worked very hard to include everybody, to make everyone have a voice. And I feel what's happened as far as the anger that's come up, we have a state trooper here at this meeting. Once again, this is the third time the state trooper's been at the meeting. It's wrong. It's wrong that we're here like this and we're so divisive and so angry with each other. We have a lot of strengths, and I think we should work from our strengths and not from our anger. And I hope I can be part of that. All I want to say about running for the board or for the council is what I think would be a good board member and who would get my vote. And you would get my vote if you can prove to me that you're open-minded. You can get my vote if you can prove to me that you're going to listen to people who might disagree with you, because there are going to be people who disagree with you. You'll get my vote if you can donate the time to go to the borough meetings and stay till midnight, which some of us have done over the last year or so. You'll get my vote if you'll commit the time to doing the neighborhood cleanup and so forth. Which a lot of people here have done that as well. So I'm not going to commit to going door to door. I'll be honest with you. And if that's a deal breaker, then so be it. Because that's not honest. I'm not going to say it just because I think it might get your vote. I don't have the time to go door to door, and I don't think it's pragmatic or practical to do it that way. It hasn't been hard to be informed, as we see tonight, I guess. I've heard a rumor that I was sympathetic, that was the word that was used, sympathetic to the current board, and I want to correct that. What I am is I'm respectful to the current board. I'm respectful to anyone who donates their time, anyone who is a community volunteer who puts up with all the anger and name-calling and false accusations, and to come back and do it again and again. That's
20 seconds.
Okay, I'm done.
20 seconds. Alice? Julia? Julia?
You said you're not going to run? Come on, Jillian.
Hello, my name is Julia. I've lived on Buffalo Mine Road since 1998, which coincidentally is when the community council started, and I've been going to community council meetings ever since I moved there. I went to find out what was going on in the community. I was interested in seeing what issues were brought up. I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to vote and use my power as a member of the community. And I'm running to be on the board because I'm frustrated with the division that's occurred in the past several months. The community council has always been an open meeting where anybody could come and talk and express their opinion and vote on issues. And I feel like there's been a lot of blame lately where it's not necessary. If people disagree with what's going on, the community council is the forum to come and disagree and say what you want to say and go from there. So I believe that the community council should be a place where everybody's opinion is valid, but people have to show up to meetings to have their voice heard. So I would like to see this community work together again. I would like to see the hostility end, and I would like to back up everything that Krista just said, because I agree with just about everything about how we should conduct business respectfully and with an open mind. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Alice Culhane, and I'm running for Moose Creek Soapstone Community Council. Okay, again. I'm Alice Culhane, and I'm running for Moose Creek Soapstone Community Council Board because I value what you value: clean air, quietude, abundant wildlife, and the Moose Range Trail System. The question that surfaced in lengthy discussions amongst us all is, how do we retain this? Like many, I feared that we might lose what we currently have to corporate greed. No, I wasn't too keen on hearing that I'd eventually have to deal with the deleterious health-related effects that go hand in hand with strip coal mining. It was then this very question, that is, how do we retain what we value, prompted me to initiate the comp plan planning process. Over the next 3 years, the other planning team members and I carefully crafted a document that contained a green infrastructure, economic development, land use, community governance, trails, and emergency preparedness sections. There were innumerable meetings, and all were well advertised. This included oral history, trails, and green infrastructure planning sessions. I signed off as lead planner last January. My primary reason was that I needed time in which to prepare for a lengthy horseback trip in the lower 48. In my absence, neighbor turned against neighbor. I got wind of this at a meeting in which general ill will predominated. Ironically, the purpose of this meeting was to provide area residents with an overview of the comp plan. Booing, hissing, foot stomping prevailed. I subsequently asked that my name be removed from the plan because I feared for my safety. Cowardice has never rested well with me. I set my still very real fears aside and initiated the Peace and Love campaign by posting drawings of Spudzilla, Heart Person, the Star Family, and the Grim Reaper on the Moose Creek and Soapstone bulletin boards. People learn by example, which is why I conducted a campaign in which nothing was taken out of context and no aspersions were cast on anyone's characters. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said of those who are opposed to the comp plan. My contention is this. We need to move forward and revise the comp plan. It's not quashed, nor is it history. It's alive and well and on the borough website.
30 seconds, Alan.
other communities, including Big Lake, have worked together, and so we can do the same. The final question is, why bother to even have a comp plan? The answer is this. If we don't, our intended audience, the Borough Assembly, will continue to see us for what they think we are, a backwoods community that's ripe for large-scale resource development pickings. This is opposed to a residential area comprised of a community of people who respect one another and have a vested interest in seeing it remain as is. Thank you.
I just wanted to let you all know that Judy, Michelle, Rebecca, and myself, Tracy, were just randomly picked to count the ballots tonight. We've come up with a plan to assure you guys that every vote is tallied appropriately. Thank you.
And ballots are to be handed to one of us. I am one of them. She is one. And then...
There's also part of this tonight was to allow people to ask questions of the candidates. To keep time reasonable, it's supposed to be two questions per candidate with a two-minute response. Come on down and grab a microphone.
Why don't we have the candidates come up here and line up whoever wants to ask questions of them? Remember to be very respectful, please.
Can you clarify, is it 2 minutes?
You, each person that comes down here can ask two questions of a candidate, isn't it?
Okay, so who's first?
Oh, there. One question? You want to do that? Because we're running out of time, you want to do, just everybody want to ask a candidate? Want to do it that way? Is that okay with everybody? Is that agreed with everybody? If everybody can ask one question of a candidate?
Are you ready for my question?
Okay.
My question's for Brian Endel. I bet you could see that coming, Brian. Brian's told you endless times that August 4th or August something was the date that he first became aware of the Comprehensive Community Plan. And he was at a Comprehensive Community Plan meeting in November. November of last year. And so this is the guy that's told you that he just found out about it, and this is the guy. So you would think that he would have let you know a lot sooner than now, November. So my question to you, Brian, is why? I got my question going. My question to you, Brian, is why didn't you let your community know something about this comprehensive community plan sooner, like in November or from that point on?
Okay, the first thing I want to clarify a few things. Yes, I did know about the comprehensive plan on the last November meeting, but I did not know what it was about. I did I did on August 4th. I found out that they were voting on the comprehensive plan, and that's a statement that I wrote on the petition, and that's what everybody signed. So.
Hey. Enough.
Point of order. What was your question again? I had things to do. I was busy. And I did look into it. I did pay attention to the board, and I did go down there.
Other people have questions. I think that's quite good.
I was going to ask, in order to do it really quickly, I just wanted to see a show of hands of the candidates that are for pro-coal development. Why not? I would just ask, I don't understand what's hard about this. If you are for pro-coal, if you are for coal to go in next to in Wishbone Hill, could you please raise your hand? Okay, if you are not for... Okay, so Brian, you are one. Is there anybody else who's for coal development?
I'm for mining, I'm for development, and...
What I'm asking is, are you for the coal development at Wishbone Hill? Okay, so folks, since you are the candidates for the board, this is the most important thing to me, and I'm part of your community, okay? Please answer the question for me. Are you for development at Wishbone Hill of coal? Please raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I don't need anything else. If you are for development, I just need a hand. Thank you. Are you not for development? Please raise your hand.
Of Wishbone Hill?
You want to clarify that of Wishbone Hill? Of Wishbone Hill. Development at Wishbone Hill. Not for. You are not for development of coal mining at Wishbone Hill. Those of you that are undecided and still researching, please raise your hands.
Hi, my name is Andrei Chostek. I briefly introduced myself before, but I would like to ask every nominee today one question. It's a fair question. Any question is a fair question. So my first question is, would you reconsider your nomination? This is a very important decision in your life. It's a hard work. So I ask you for reconsidering your running for the council. That's my one question. Thank you.
Are you asking for a response? I would venture to guess if we're standing up here, we're nominated and committed at this point.
No, I'm going to clarify that real quick. The question was, you know, from my experience, hard work. It takes a lot of dedication. And if you reconsider you running, do you have that much time? That's what I meant. Thank you.
If you are committed, raise your hand. If you are not willing to be committed, raise your hand.
My question is for Jeanette Goss, and I would like to know, how many borough meetings have you attended? Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Carol Clemens, and I've heard several of you say that you came door to door to every door, and I'm just curious. I happen to have a piece of property that has an old no trespassing or keep out or something sign that's in the bushes. It's still there, and I wondered if that was keeping you away from my door, because I've never seen anybody come up to my door. So I just wondered, I know some of the people here, I see, I think your sign is on, off of Norman Avenue, Steve Renner, your sign, so I live right up the hill from you, and Rick knows where I live. So I was just curious if no trespassing little signs keep you away from going to people's doors, because nobody's come to mine.
the idea was to get people informed about the meetings, and I already knew that you came to the meetings because you invited me the first time, and so I declined to go to some.
And for me, personally, no trespassing means no trespassing. And
I appreciate that. You know. Anybody else?
Hi.
I'm up the road on Lupin, yeah. I think you're like partway up the hill towards Lupin, right? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I went to many doors, and I sat up on the cliff at Buffalo Mine, and I personally know that I missed a lot of doors, not on purpose, but due to time, personal things going on in my life, so I've tried to get it out via the internet, emails, word of mouth. Not pick and choose for any reason. I've just tried.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all. I just
found it ironic. It was a sin for the current community council not to go door to door, but it seems okay for this group. Mr. Shields, the right to property, do you agree that it should include the right not to have your property damaged by your neighbor or somebody else? That's what the comprehensive plan is partly about.
Actually, since he brought it up in terms of the going door to door, I still have a couple of minutes on that one. The simple fact is that we may not have got to every single house, but we damn well made an effort. In 2 weeks, we made an effort to get to as many people as we could. And it's not just about going door to door, but it's actually about making the effort to get to, or to communicate to people, to email, call, whatever means we have. And so if you don't want us to come to your property, give us your email address, give us your phone number, and we will be happy to communicate with you that way.
My name's Dustin Renner.
I want to say one thing on this door-to-door thing. In the past, Jennifer worked really hard to get fire protection for Buffalo Mine Road, and she went door-to-door and did that, and she got a lot of bad responses. And then at meetings later on, we asked people if they wanted to go door-to-door to get volunteers, because there's a lot of work involved in running a council, and no one wanted to volunteer. No one wanted to do that. And we did put signs up. Yeah, we worked hard, and so we did. So it's not something that hasn't been done, and the fact that it's being thrown around like that is pretty rude.
I'm just curious, for anybody that's currently on the board or anybody that's running on the board that was involved in this last comprehensive plan, I think as a resident of the community we have the right to know. I'm just curious, were any of you paid to write this plan that we didn't want, and if so, how much?
No officers were paid.
Is there anybody running right now that was paid to write this plan?
Alice Culhane, yes.
Okay, how much was she paid?
I don't know off the top of my head, but that went out to the entire community,
okay,
so you probably know that.
I'm just asking the question. Was it $15,000? Okay, I was just curious.
You want to answer?
Okay, I kind of address it. Would you please listen to me? Okay, I was paid, and it was as a consultant. My profession is being a writing coach, editor, reporter, writer, and there is nothing in the borough statutes which indicates that a lead planner is not to be paid. If you look at the Big Lake plan, you'll note that they hired Agnew and Beck, and they paid them over $100,000 to help them put their plan together. So to pay me $8,000 means this community got a pretty good deal. Because after I tabulated it out, I earned $6.50 an hour, which is far less than what McDonald's employees make. Thank you.
Byron Henshaw. I would like to know why you laughed at the community member who choked up asking who was for the coal mine with emotion in her voice because she cares about the health and safety of her family. I would like to know why you laughed when she choked up.
I was not laughing at her. I thought that the whole thing was kind of humorous. I certainly care about her feelings, and it wasn't laughing at her. It was the situation. I'm sorry that you're obviously upset, and please understand that was not my intentions. When I'm up here in front of people, I certainly be careful that my expressions don't misrepresent myself. So I care about this community. My idea is that I like my private property. I believe I'm glad that it takes a democracy to make a decision here, but it's a when it comes to my own property, I don't want a democracy making that decision. I want to make it on myself. As far as mining goes, to answer the question, the problem is with the Repetitive Question Act. The problem is I want to tell you what I'm for. I'm mining. I gold mine. I'm pro mining, but I also have seen what it took me to mine. What the regulations I had to go through, what hoops I had to go through. I had to do it legitimate. And if they can't mine properly, if they can't mine to protect the property, then they shouldn't mine. I believe there is permit processes in place, and that and they will guide them in that regard. But I do care.
Hi, I'm Karen Hopp. And I've spent a lot of time at community council meetings, and there's a lot of things I agree with. They did tons of work. And I just want to ask the question, maybe of Jennifer, of when people voted on ways, things that we did for the community council, how did those votes happen? Did people just tell you, or did you just make them up by yourself? Did people vote that were present to do the comp plan, to suspend the money? These votes came from where, Jennifer?
The decisions for how the money was spent was ballots that went out to anyone in the community, whether they attended a meeting or not, because we wanted to know what everybody's opinion was. So those attending filled out their ballots. We emailed them out. We posted signs on the bulletin boards. So anybody, even if they didn't want to come to a meeting, we wanted to know what their opinion was on it. And then all of those were tallied, and the ones that had the most votes got the most money. And there's been a lot of question come up about paying Moose Wallow. And Moose Wallow was reimbursed for their expenses for years of holding meetings at their place. And that was a unanimous community vote.
Tim Leach here again. My voice is getting worse, sorry. For the folks, especially the folks who are interested in developing Wishbone Hill Coal Mine, right next door to most of our properties on Buffalo Mine Road especially, I'd like to hear your position on using the mineral estates that are under most of ours, which most of us don't own. And as you guys probably remember if you've been around, coal bed methane is something of an issue 6 or so years ago. And if you know about some of the companies that are interested in mining in our area, both right next door to us as well as up valley, those same companies are looking at coal bed methane and Healy. So I'd like to hear your position. The idea there, linking the dots for folks, if they're doing coal bed methane and coal strip mining up in Healy, what's to stop them from doing the same thing on our properties? And as you guys probably remember, if they have the underground mineral lease rights, they can come onto your property because they have to get to it, and there's nothing that can stop them to do that. So I'd like to hear your positions on that for the development folks, and if anybody else has an interest in that too, that'd be great.
I want to comment on one thing. And I can remember the coal bed issue. I believe right now where the coal bed issue stands with the borough is that they can only put one mine per one well per square mile, one well per section. In the beginning, it was pretty much unlimited. And right now, as it stands, I know I was involved in working on that issue. I didn't like the idea of wells every 10 acres, but as it is now, the technology today has apparently stuck its head out of the cave and You know, they're doing it in other parts of the country, but up here right now they can only put one well per square mile.
And I should say, too, there's underground coal gasification that Link Energy and others are doing, are looking to do out at Point McKenzie, and that's the same issue that would be something that we'd be entertaining here. And so for you guys, I guess the really basic question is, would you guys be in favor of allowing those companies on the private land that we all care deeply about in terms of protecting our private property rights in order to get to the resource underneath? It's pretty much the same as coal bed methane stuff, but there you go.
Well, I'm not for that going underneath your property, and it's, you know, it's our property, but still it requires a little more research on my part to even, you know, make more decisions on that. I mean, I just started August 4th looking at this stuff, so.
Well, thank you for your answers, and I think there's one more, and definitely as you guys are voted in, please, this is stuff that's affecting all of us. Doesn't matter if you're right next door to Wishbone or not, so please study up.
Actually, on that, it's, if it's your private property and you don't want them on there, absolutely not. But if somebody else, for some reason, wants the well on their land because maybe they're getting leased on it, same thing with the cell phone towers, well, that's a different issue. But let them. I mean, it's your property. Do with it as you wish.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Does
not sure who's got the rule book here.
I'm going to change it. Does anybody have rights to the subsurface minerals?
Yes.
Before state, right? Okay. Does anybody here have that?
Some folks up in Alaska Beauty Estates actually has it.
I thought the state sewed that up pretty well, yeah.
Alaska Beauty Estates, which is above us, has it.
Does it? Okay.
Okay, my question is to Jennifer, and this is not to make you mad. This is not to make anybody else mad. It's just to wonder why I've heard from four different people that you refused some questions to answer for them. Why?
The parameters I put forth when I started forwarding on emails on behalf of other people was that they be respectful. So if there was specific name calling about a particular person, I forwarded it back to the person and asked if they could reword it. They could have totally reworded it in another way so it wasn't name calling. They could describe what they felt about that person without name calling, and I would have then forwarded it on. But I felt that it was important to the community members that they don't want to be bombarded with a bunch of emails that's not respectful.
Okay, well, I've also heard that they did do that.
If it got reworded and sent back to me, then I'm not aware of that.
I've heard from four people that you didn't even respond to them.
This week, I traveled for work. I'm running way behind on emails. I haven't been able to respond to every single email this week. Normally, I try to respond to every single email within 24 hours. That's my goal, both at work and at home. And I'm behind right now because I spent 4 days in Dillingham.
Okay.
Sorry. I am human and I have a life. But I'll try to get to them someday.
Does anybody here on the board know how many households are in this community that y'all are representing?
300 and some? 400 and some? What was it?
How many people have the right to vote?
Okay. How many people is a different question
right,
than
sorry.
Households?
How many votes?
Well, no. Okay, there's a number. So Census Bureau has like 800 and something people living in the area, but that counts kids. The people who are currently on the community council list as of, before today was, I quoted it and now I don't remember it. But somebody probably remembers it because somebody emailed me and asked. Jeanette McCullough does. Wherever. Because I responded to your email, but I can't remember what the count was now.
Well, it's 200 and something? It's approximately 750.
That's not voters. How many voters. No.
According to the borough, when I called, when this all... When
they're
this
just...
All,
they're quoting Census Bureau numbers. That counts kids.
Okay. Hmm.
Sorry.
Well, that's what she used, because I wanted to know how many people had the right to vote.
The,
and... 780, something like that. That's
Total
including kids. Okay.
Yeah.
400. So you had made mention that you'd sent out a questionnaire pertaining to this comp plan. Mm-hmm. Can you tell
us? The borough sent that out to all property owners who pay their taxes.
Well, I've paid my taxes. I never got one. And along with several other people.
That's a borough issue.
How many people responded and filled out that question?
Somebody else does. I don't keep that number in my head, though.
Yeah, we got
74 is what the borough told me.
That's,
I'm not sure
no.
Yeah. We had like 97 responses.
Well, I just, the reason that I'm asking or making these statements is that whether it was 74 or 94, that is just a fraction of what, if that comp plan had been passed, it would affect everybody. And I'm hopeful that a new board will be able to listen to the voice of all the people. How many people
we would
here
love
that
to
are
listen
running
to the voice, the
are
voice of
listen
everyone
to all the people and include them all and include them all. I closed on my house in 19.
No, exactly. It's a right to privacy. So you go to the borough and you ask the borough to do it. And they have to do it because it's a borough plan. And that's the biggest difference you can make to get a hold of everybody. How else are you going to do it?
I closed on my property on 1998.
I have 2 minutes to run.
When are we supposed to be out of here? Is there a?
It's 9 o'clock. So we still need to go over a few items on the agenda. So it's probably time to wrap up.
Is there anybody else that has any questions? Otherwise, we'll. Okay, Julia has a question, and then we'll get at the vote.
My question is to the candidates who said they are in favor of coal development at Wishbone Hill. I would like to know, if you are on the community council board, what is your plan for making sure that the community is protected against pollution, health issues, noise, and any other ill effects that could come from the mine? How do you propose to protect the community from those things?
I would like to state that I came up in front of you and I read my plan. My idea is to evaluate whether we need a community council or not and to restrict its authority, but to give a series of options for that. And that would be the first step for me. Do we need a community council? Do we need another layer of government? That's my question.
Did you turn it off?
No.
To protect our property, the noise disturbances, all of that, we don't have to have a specific comprehensive plan. If, what would I do to protect? Ill effect, well, first of all, it would have to be determined if there were ill effects of the mine. I probably would address it directly to the mine to see if they would correct those things before I put before I started working on a plan that would address a lot of other issues. We have a comprehensive plan over us now. It's the borough plan. Before we go and make, what would I do to protect my, well, first of all, I probably would try to get a hold of everybody's opinion as possible. You don't have to, you can approach a company or the borough as a unified group. I would not address the borough or the mine with a fear. If you're just simply afraid that something might happen, then you ought not to get in your car and drive home because there's a chance you could get in an accident. If there's a real problem, the community council needs to organize and address that as an issue, not necessarily as a plan.
Well, and forgive me for maybe some ignorance on this, but doesn't the mine have to abide by state and federal and EPA and various other regulations and such? Okay, so please help me
understand this. What exactly can we as a community go and do to, other than petitioning the borough, petitioning the state to possibly and this is the same thing that we would have to do for almost anything, but to make the regulations more restrictive? Well, a comprehensive plan is something that is much more than just focusing on coal. If we wanted to focus simply on the coal issue, then 90% of that document is irrelevant.
All right. We are talking out of...
Well, no, I mean, so my main point is that there are federal and there are state entities that are specifically for protecting the environment and protecting and regulating these entities.
Good job, so I hope that you're willing to stand up for the community if it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, if they're screwing up, damn right.
Good. Anybody that's doing any type of mining, drilling oil, they all got to follow by all rules. Alaska rule, state, EPA, and everything.
We're out
of
time.
That goes for coal and everything else.
We're out of time. We need to get our vote done here.
I would make a motion on ending this discussion and going on to the vote.
Let's get this done. We need to get our vote in.
Everybody, be sure you turn your ballots
in. If you could please turn your ballots in over here where this lady is raising her hand.
Okay, rest of the meeting now. For those of you who have patience to listen to the rest of the meeting, which shouldn't take very long. What about the mic? Okay, where's the other mic? Is this battery dead or what?
Right here.
Hello? Okay, so turn your ballots in over here, but clearly you probably already know that.
Hello?
Oh, that's better.
All right, so next on the agenda.
Next on the agenda is the treasurer's report. Treasurer, you want to do a report?
We're fading fast, so we'll make this quick. I was planning to hand these out earlier, but the agenda got amended. If anybody wants to see a detailed treasurer report that hasn't seen it on the website and other sources, there's 20 copies up here. You can come get one. Basically, we've finished off spending the 2009 grant year money this year in filing for the requirements that we have to file as a nonprofit to the IRS. We had to pay a fee to the IRS and then for the forms to be done. And then what we have left of 2010 grant year is $808.64. But because we've earned interest on our accounts, we actually have a total of $921.76 remaining at this time in the all funds for the council, for the community.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the revenue sharing grant. The borough approved us for this year's revenue sharing grant. We did the ballots for that back in the early summer, came back with the decisions of what it would be, and then, lo and behold, in August, a whole other section of the community showed up at a meeting. So I decided, or we decided, the officers decided, that because we want the money spent in ways that the entire community approves of, or as many as possible. I mean, hello, we don't all agree on anything. But so what we decided to do was to wait to accept that grant from the borough, because before accepting the grant, we have to tell them exactly what we're going to spend it on. And so we are in limbo at the moment, waiting for the new officers to be elected, take place, and then at the next meeting, which I'm recommending we schedule a meeting prior to the next February meeting, because that's too far away. We need to get moving on the grant if we're going to use it at all. So my recommendation is a special meeting get scheduled sometime soon
to discuss what happens with the grant money. And another set of ballots go out to everybody to get everybody's opinion on how that money is spent. So that's where that stands at the moment. I don't know that we need any particular action on that necessarily. Did you have something to add?
We're going to go start counting. Is all the ballots in? The election committee is going to start counting. Are all the ballots turned in?
All right, so that's where that stands. Essentially, we're putting it on hold at the moment. I am assuming that once the new officers take place, they will work on most likely scheduling a meeting to discuss what happens with the revenue sharing grant next. Okay? Rick? Okay, so Rick's question, for those of you who couldn't hear, is do we have to spend all the money and have it all squared away before we accept it? I'm guessing you mean do we have to know where it's all going to go? Okay, so what we need to know is what types of projects are approved. So, for instance, earlier this summer, one of the projects that was on the possible list of projects was, say, beekeeping equipment. That doesn't mean it's going to get spent that way. That means people were generally in favor of that. So what we can do is we can send out a ballot with a whole bunch of lists of projects, possible projects. The community can voice their opinion on those. The ones that pass as having support, we could turn that list into the borough. They will amend the memorandum of agreement to include those items. Doesn't have to have a dollar amount necessarily attached to each item. So, for instance, we might say we're going to spend part of it on money to reimburse for meeting space, knowing we're probably going to have some expenses for that in the next year. But we don't have to necessarily know in advance exactly the dollar amount that it's going to be, that we're going to need for that particular item. Does that answer that question? No, his question is, can we save it? And unfortunately, the borough will not allow that. The memorandum of agreement is typically for that calendar year. And technically, this grant money was supposed to have been spent by December 31st of this year, but they know we're running behind on this. And so when they sent the memorandum of agreement, they sent it with the dates that it needed to be spent by December 31st of next year, 2012. So we have a year, but because they've already extended it, that might not happen again. And there's no guarantee that they couldn't say, never mind, you know, the grant. It's a state grant. The state might decide they're sending the money in a different direction. There's no guarantees that they'll wait for us to get our act together. Brian? There was a check written for the sound equipment we're using currently of $50. Other than that, there's no outstanding bills that I'm aware of, correct?
Okay, so for...
Okay, to recap, since she didn't have a microphone, for those people on the radio, the IRS has been paid, but it's just recently been sent to the IRS, so if the IRS was to come back and say, never mind, you owe more, that's out of our control. Other than that, I'm not aware of any other bills outstanding. Jeanette? Okay, so what she was just saying for those on the radio, Jeanette was saying that she was pretty sure that the borough would allow you to let money carry over. And that is the case. We have just already been extended for 1 year, so there's no guarantee they will extend it for another year, is what I was saying earlier. So That's what I've been told by the borough anyway. I haven't tried to push my luck on that one, but. And from what I hear, just for your information, this grant year is the most likely the last year that there will be any grant money, from what I've been told. Now, it's a state grant. That doesn't necessarily mean the state won't turn around and come back and say, okay, we're doing it another year. We don't know from year to year if they will. Jeanette Goss was saying there's been a resolution passed 2012 by the borough. For a revenue sharing grant. All right, so is there anything else we need on this topic before we move on? Because I want to move on. Okay. It's complicated, but yes. The short answer is yes. For instance, Matsu Ski Club is a nonprofit. The community voted to fund them for X amount for them to maintain ski trails the past couple of years. That's a nonprofit. So a certain amount of money was handed to a nonprofit for them to do their work within the community. Obviously, that'd be one of those things that the community members would have to approve and then the borough approves. So if the borough sees it as something that's close enough related, yeah. The borough's been pretty willing to approve of the things that the community voted for. So.
Has there been any word on the other stuff that's been stolen?
No. I've had a number of people contact us with some possible leads, but none of them have panned out. So please keep those flyers up there and keep passing the word around. Yes, it was filed the same day. It was stolen off of my property. The troopers, there's a case number on that flyer. I'm sure you've seen. The community council's trailer and moose processing equipment was stolen off my property. Okay, so can we now move on to the next item on the agenda, please? Thank you. All right, so a couple of quick announcements I'm going to say real quick before turning the microphone over to our guest speaker, who has been extremely patient and is still hanging with us. If you want to be added to the Moose Road Kill List, let the officers know. Normally it's me, but let anybody know, and they'll pass it on. Matsu Ski Club is looking for volunteer groomers for our end of the Moose Range. The next date of the regularly scheduled meeting is February 2nd, but location and time will yet to be determined. And let's see here. So that's the next regularly scheduled meeting. Like I already said, we'll most likely be having one sooner to discuss revenue sharing funds so we can get that rolling quickly. As soon as they get done counting ballots, they're going to announce. So if you want to know who it is tonight, stick around. And I'm going to turn the mic over to our guest speaker. And I'm sorry, I don't know your name or I would introduce you.
Good evening. My name is Trooper Eastwood Colesar of the Alaska State Troopers. I've been employed here with the state of Alaska since May of 2010. Prior to that, I was a Virginia Beach officer in the city of Virginia Beach, Virginia for 3 years, and I hold a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. So that's me in a nutshell. I was asked by Dr. Prevost to come speak to you guys about general issues going on with crime, both in the Valley and you guys specifically. I know it's been a long night, so I'll just kind of make this short for you guys so you can get on the more pressing matters. I always like to kind of start these talks off with a positive. Positive thing is that, you know, in regards to the entire Valley, I really don't come out to deal with break-ins that much on your guys' roads. That's a great thing. You guys should really give yourselves a round of applause for that. A big reason that we don't come out there is because you guys actually look out after each other. And that's a big part in crime prevention. I kind of like to look at crime prevention as kind of three major triangles, okay? You lose one leg of the triangle, it collapses, okay? So in order to have crime, you need to have an offender, a place, and the opportunity, okay? And each one of you guys as a community member can actually combat all three of those. One of them is a little bit harder. The two are very easy to do. Okay? First one is a place. That's obviously your house, your car, you know. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of do that. The troopers, we like to talk about making yourself a hard target to criminals. You know, that's things like locking your doors at night, keeping valuables outside of your car or at least outside of plain sight for anyone that kind of starts sneaking around. Other things that people don't really think of is most people are hunters out here because they're in the great state of Alaska, right? Okay. A lot of you guys probably have, you know, game cameras, right? Well, when you guys aren't hunting, set those up on your property. I can't count, you know, the number of cases I'm able to solve because one of those actually catch that dirtbag walking onto your property and meaningly enough, hey, I know who it is. So that makes my life a whole lot easier. It makes your life a lot easier to get your property back. So just a random suggestion for you guys. Also, you know, keeping motion sensor lights on. You know, creating a environment for the criminal to make his job a little bit harder to get your stuff, he's going to move on to the soft target. So things of that nature, the cameras, motion sensor lights, keeping up on your property, making sure your property looks good, just makes the criminal want to go to the guy next door, which is always a good thing. Okay. Except for the guy next door, absolutely. But you can do all of this stuff. You know, you can get the highest, most expensive security system known to man. You can put all lights around your house. You can have everything possible, the biggest dog in the world. If somebody wants to break into your house, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that you can do if you're not there. Okay? Point blank, simple. I'm sorry I can't make that any nicer for you. But there are a few things that you can do to help me help you guys at least get your stuff back and try to find out who it is that actually broke into your house. Okay? Everyone keeps all sorts of stuff in their house, all right? Guns, TVs, jewelry. How many people would you say you know the serial number of all your TVs? Or know the serial numbers of every one of your firearms that are in one place? Anything like that. It's very few and far between. I work a lot of burglaries where, you know, they had a whole bunch of guns stolen. I said, okay, I need serial numbers for the weapons. I have no idea. I can't put stuff in the system if I can't get that kind of information. Or, you know, if, let's say you're wandering around a pawn shop because you got broken into and say, hey, that's my weapon. I can't prove that it's your weapon without some kind of documentation showing that it was yours, like serial numbers or that sort of thing. There are some things that don't have serial numbers. What I recommend and what the troopers recommend is to kind of get one of those Dremel hand tools and put initials and stuff. And, you know, make this gigantic documented list of all of your valuables and put your initials on this stuff that if you can, so that way I can identify it as yours at a pawn shop or if I do a search warrant on somebody else's house. And, hey, you know, it's John Smith is who I'm looking at, and he's got a whole bunch of property with initials AB. Well, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist that maybe there's something wrong with that, right? So I don't want to take up too much of your time. We just want to make sure that we can do everything in our power to help you. And one thing that we can do to help you guys is to help us by, again, you know, make yourself that hard target, document all your valuables, pictures for jewelry. Is great. Have that list so God forbid if something like that were to happen, you guys can get me that list. It makes us our job a whole lot easier, and hopefully that makes our success rate a little bit higher as well. I'm going to leave my a couple business cards here with the president and whatnot. It has my email address on it. If you guys have any specific questions about, you know, things that you might be able to do to your house to, you know, make it kind of hard target or anything like that, send me an email. I do get email to my BlackBerry, as everybody else does. I will try to get back to you. I currently work day shift, Saturday through Tuesday, with Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays off. That, of course, is always subject to change. I'm always working late as well. But I always have quick time for emails and, you know, anything pressing right there. Obviously, you guys all know 911. Our non-emergency number, 352-5401, goes right to our dispatch, which is manned 24 hours a day, 365 days a week. And also my desk number, you can get in contact with me, is 745-2131, and just ask to speak with Trooper Kolazar, and they'll transfer you either right to my desk or to me personally if I'm working. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Does anyone have any specific questions I can answer for you right now? Ma'am?
Yes, I'm wondering, if somebody knows what happened and where they are and doesn't notify you, is there... And that's found out. Is there a fine for
So what you're saying is your stuff got stolen, and somebody may know where it is. The community stuff got stolen, and somebody may know the whereabouts of it but chooses not to contact law enforcement about it. As far as is there a crime about that? And possibility not. Is there maybe a civil issue going on? I don't handle the civil stuff. The civil stuff is just a little, it's outside my game, it's outside the realm. I've got very strict policies and laws that guideline what I can and can't do in regards to the civil stuff. But what I would urge that person to do is to contact, even if they want to be anonymous about something like that, is Crime Stoppers, and that is 745-3333. You can leave anonymous tips. There's also a website where you can do that on Crime Stoppers. If you do a Google search for Crime Stoppers in the Matsu Valley, it'll come right up, and you can put all that information. It comes confidentially right directly to my specific email, as well as the rest of my staff and all of that, and that definitely helps us a lot. We solve a lot of cases just with the help of you guys. Bottom line is, you know, there's only a few of us out here. There's only 300 and some odd troopers for the entire state. So we need your help just as much as you guys want our help. So if we can all work together, just like this community is all trying to work together and, you know, for a common goal, you know, it's a long, arduous fight, but it'll all work out in the end. Any other questions? Yes. Absolutely. Anything like that, you know, don't feel free to absolutely call us about anything you have a question about. I don't care if it's, you know, 2 a.m. and you got a question about parking, handicap parking. Somebody will get back to you. You know, it may take a while for, you know, if something's going on that's pressing, that's got to dictate our time. I promise you, we will answer your question. Or at least we will give you the knowledge to go find the answer. As regards to, you know, late night shooting or cars being shot up, absolutely give us a call. If you see a vehicle that's just driving around that just kind of seems a little weird, you know, I can't check it out to make sure things are okay unless somebody tells me about it, because the bottom line is I can't be sitting on every corner at the entire time. My car is only so big. Anything else? All right, well, again, thank you guys very much for letting me talk. Let you guys get finished up, and I know it's been a very long day for everybody. The roads are getting a little slick out there. It's becoming winter, so please take extra precautions, drive safe, buckle up, and any other questions, definitely don't hesitate to give us a call, okay? Sir? Oh, it's my pleasure. Oh. Okay. Okay. You have a right to defend your You have the right to defend yourself and defend your property. Okay? Point blank, period. That's what you have the right to do, okay? There is nothing that's going to stop being after the fact to say that something civilly is going to come down the road. I can't tell you that, okay? I can tell you that you have a right to defend your property and defend yourself. Is that going to be scrutinized? Possibly. But that's not, you know, the important thing is, are you safe? Absolutely. You're doing what you have to do to protect yourself and your family, and I respect that. Best thing that I always recommend is, you know, if you're going to keep firearms and loaded firearms on you, keep that cell phone right next to you. Okay? Let everybody know, you know, let us know what's coming on. If you do call us about something that you think somebody's breaking into your house and you got a gun on you, please let us know. You would be surprised. Even a lot of people also don't know this. We like to educate the public a lot on this. If you are carrying armed and concealed on your person, and we happen to pull you over for whatever reason, it is actually a crime not to inform us. It's actually an arrestable citation for you guys not to inform us immediately that you are armed. Okay? Not a lot of people know that. I don't want to have to take somebody to jail for it. It's, you know, a safety issue for me. I want to make sure that I go home to my loved ones at night just as you guys do. So if you guys are carrying armed, I appreciate that and good on you. Just make sure you let us know if we come into contact with you. Okay? Tell him to keep running, because he's going to be doing a lot of running in the academy. Tell him to keep his grades up, mind his manners, and I'm looking forward to needing his help when he gets 21. Yep. Sir? If you don't have a weapon on you, I don't need to know that you don't have a weapon on you. Absolutely. If you have a weapon on you, I'd like to know, whether it be pocket knife, bazooka, pistol, rifle, whatever. I don't care. I just would like to know where it is. Yes. Yes, it is.
I have a question.
I have an answer.
So, if you have a weapon on you, does that mean, like, in the trunk or in the back seat or behind the seat, or does that mean, like, within reach of your body?
Within reach of your body or on your person. The basically, you know, if you got a hunting rifle that's locked up and, you know, let me know about it, but that's not my major concern. The major concern that we kind of deal with in regards to charging people with it is, you know, you've got a concealed pistol on you, you know, on the small of your back or on your side, and you don't tell me about it. There's nothing wrong with having a weapon on you. I carry a weapon on me all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with you guys having a weapon. All it is we want to make sure that us as law enforcement are going to be as safe as possible when contacting you. So if all of a sudden you reach over to get your license and registration and I happen to see a revolver, you know, butt coming out of the side of your pants, I don't freak out because I already know about it. Anybody else? Penny, for your thoughts, anything like that? Ma'am. Okay. which one? I have many. Okay. Our non-emergency number to dispatch is 352-5401. Now, that would be anything from general questions, you know, like parking, for example, or something that's not going on right now. You came home after being on vacation for a couple weeks and somebody broke into my house, something like that, where you know they're not there immediately, but so that way you can just call us. There is somebody there 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 352-5401. I work out of the Palmer office right there off of South Valley Way. The number for the Palmer office is 745-2131. Either one of those two numbers can get me specifically if it's a question you have about this. Like I said, I may not be at my desk. Just leave me a message. I will get back to you. Just when you do leave me that message, just try to remind me what it's all about, because sometimes I get a lot of cases and names and faces. It takes me a minute to remember what's going on. And also just sometimes with being off for 3 days, and then sometimes I get adjusted for court. If I don't get back to you right away, it's not because I don't want to talk to you. Just sometimes things get a little busy. Yes? Sure. It is Eastwood, like the actor, E-A-S-T-W-O-O-D hyphen Kolazar, K-O-L. E is in Echo, S is in Sam, Z-A-R. Yes. Anything else? All right, well, thank you very much, guys. Have a great night, and take care.
How close are we to having ballots?
We have 175 ballots.
To count? Should we adjourn the meeting and then people can find out by email or something, or you think you'll be done in the next 20 minutes or so? Okay. Do you want people to just kind of mill about and discuss amongst themselves? Okay, we're taking a recess from the meeting for hopefully a short period of time. Announce. In case you hadn't heard me, now you did. And I'd just like to say that regardless of who wins, I'm looking forward to the next year, see what we can all do as a community together. Yes, thank you very much to all the poor people over here sitting here counting for what seemed like hours. Boy, crowd thinned. Okay. So, I'm going to do this in order of number of votes received. Steve Renner, 130.
Brian Endel, 106. Rick Shields, 101. Jason Crum, 100. Marnie Whelan, 61. Those are your top five. So those are the top five. So that's the board. It was close after that. Jennifer Charvet was 60. And April Lewis was 60. So Krista got 53. Jeanette, did I pronounce that wrong? I'm sorry. Jeanette, 49. Julia, 49. Alice, 35. And then Byron Henshaw, 30.
Okay, so the next thing we need to do, hopefully, real quick, so we can adjourn the meeting, is have the five people who won come up and work out who's going to be which position real quick, so we can put that in the minutes of who holds which seat, and so we can quickly adjourn, because we're technically supposed to be out of here at 10. So hopefully that's a quick, easy vote. Typically, yeah, because everyone's done and wants to go home. It's... For transparency purposes, it would probably be wise if you let the community know what's going on. I guess we'll find out when they want to tell us.
The new board is going to be as follows. Brian Endel will be president. Brian Endel will be president. Steve Redner will be vice president. Jason Crum will be treasurer. Rick will be secretary. Marnie will be member at large.
The meeting's adjourned at 10:07. Thank you. Good night.